Radio's The Sky.
The Sky.
Now back to Fire It Up with CJ. Be a force for good. And Fire It Up with CJ. Log on, fireitupwithcj.com. And call CJ now.
248-545-7685.
On CBS Radio's The Sky. The Sky.
Welcome back to Fire It Up with CJ. I'm Cassandra, and I'm here with you today on New Sky Radio, powered by CBS. And we have a great guest this half hour, but I really want to say thank you to Don. He was such a great guest. And if you missed something that he was saying earlier, I download the podcast right after the show. So within about 15 to 30 minutes, it's usually up on our website, newskyradio.com. Or within 24 hours, it will go up on iTunes, and both of them are free, so whichever one is convenient for you. And that way, if you missed anything on today's show, you can always go back and listen to it again, because they're saying such great things, and I want to make sure everyone has all the information that they need today.
Thank you. So welcome back, everyone. I have Lama Syria Das here. I have my two most favorite people in the whole wide world who I get so much from. And today Lama Syria Das is going to be talking about a subject matter in his book, Buddha Standard Time. And I don't know about you, but sometimes I feel like I'm like a salmon swimming against the current of life. And you know what? When I do that, I'm exhausted, I'm tired, and I'm usually depressed because I feel like I'm going against the current of life. And that is really the topic of this segment here, in synchronizing ourselves to the current of life and tuning into this auspicious time, which is the new year for 2013. So welcome, Lama Syria Das.
Thank you. Thank you for having such a lovely show and bringing public conversation in this direction. It's very important to start the new year right.
Yeah. Tell me a little bit about your book. You talk about getting in sync, and I specifically remember reading a clause in there about the new year. And in that context, how is getting in sync? How do we get in sync with the new year, and what's the concept of getting in sync?
Well, so many people today tell me or seem to feel that they don't have enough time, or that they're not in touch with themselves or the depths of life, that everything has become electronic and material and, you know, virtual and impersonal and so on. So the message of this is how to live in Buddha standard time, the holy now, and to now yourself, as Socrates didn't say. Now yourself.
I like how you're saying it.
If we're not here now, I can guarantee you we won't be there then. That's the secret. So
yeah.
Living in the now is very, very profound, although it could be simple.
Yeah.
As simple as we can be. If we're complex, it's not that simple, though. So if we learn to breathe and relax and smile and settle in our hearts and bodies and feel the feelings of feeling and listen better to the people we're with and cultivate some mindfulness rather than mindlessness, and relational mindfulness, how we relate to others, and remember there are actually others out there in the world beyond your nose, and they want and need the same as we do, then our world can be a much more beautiful place. And the new year, there's no better time to do it than now. It's always now or never. And fortunately, we can be grateful that the world didn't end, even though some people thought the Mayans had prophesied that. So I think we have like a second lease on life here, and we should make the most of it.
Is that how you know yourself when it was December 21st? You're like, yes, I have an opportunity to now myself yet another day.
Yes, exactly. And I was really amused by that. I heard somebody ask the Dalai Lama about that prophecy, and he said, there are so many different calendars. Maybe the Mayan calendar just ran out, but our Tibetan calendar or Chinese calendars might go on for another many thousand years. So not to worry. He said that before that day.
I love
but not that. Worrying is one of his good lines. And, you know, it's not just a cheap cliche. He is very concerned about his Tibetan people and Tibetan homeland under Chinese communist rule and the Himalayan and global environment. He's very concerned about a lot of things that are going on in the world, but he doesn't over worry about it. There's a difference between being responsible steward and guardian and having heartfelt caring concern and just being a worry wart. It's hard to be a warrior if you're a worrier.
That's true. So what did you, what did your New Year's Day look like? Were you like sitting on a meditative cushion floating up on, over the earth, thinking about life and what?
No, I don't need a meditative cushion. I just sit on the clouds and look down my nose at everybody and all is well.
Oh, good. That's what I would,
no, it's a long, it's many nows ago.
Yeah.
It's hard to remember. What did we do on New Year's? Oh, I know. I think we went to sleep at about 11 p.m. on New Year's because I was starting our annual Dzogchen meditation retreat in upstate New York a day or two later, a 10-day meditation retreat on the Hudson River. So I was probably getting ready for that. But I did make some resolutions, although okay. I'm really not that big on New Year's resolutions, having been a Buddhist for over 40 years now. And we have different kinds of vows and ethical precepts, etc. But I did think that now I've just become 60, it's time to think more about others and give myself to others. And I've lived a good and full life, and I really want to become the bodhisattva, or the sort of guardian and uplifter of children and all the young ones, all the young spirits that come to me. So I resolved to lift them all up in my red lama robes. That's my New Year's resolution, and give myself to them for the rest of my life, and not
to
just think about myself and my own enlightenment.
Yeah,
I'm too old to think about that anyway. I can't even remember, so I'll just try to think about the children. Because whenever I watch the news, it can be kind of depressing. But whenever I see a young person, look in their eyes and stop for a moment with them and make contact irrationally, I feel so much hope and delight. Mm.
They must be pretty young, because I got to tell you, my 13-year-old, I don't feel that way with.
That's because he's yours. I'm sure if I met him, I'd feel different, because I'm not responsible for him day and night, you see? That's how it works when the ego is involved, because you think he's yours.
Okay, so I have a question for you.
When you understand he's not yours, then you will see him that way, too, but that's easier said than done, as everyone knows, so don't beat yourself up about it.
Yeah, I still see him that he's mine.
Of course,
I will try to no longer be attached.
I'm just joking, but you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, it's I totally get it.
You know.
He's living his path, I'm living my path. Regardless of what I do, there's in some ways his path has been somewhat predetermined. There's only so much I can do.
Also, 13-year-old children, you know, it's a very interesting, you know, intense, challenging age. So this is time for the parents probably to practice patience.
I think it's actually the hardest time.
And keep the longer term in mind, you know, so that you're still backing him up when he's 20, 30, and 40. Don't just blow it up now.
Yeah, no, I hear
it. It drives you crazy.
I tell him that he's going through the middle school transition where he says, I don't know who I am or what I'm supposed to do or where I am in life. You know, that's what happens in middle school. I'm like, yeah, I'm right there with you, middle age.
Yeah. You can assure him that that will be over in several decades.
Exactly.
Many decades. Not to worry. We all have to go through it.
Exactly. And you won't, and exactly, it'll come back right at you in your 50s and be just as bad as what you're feeling now. So I'll say to
Mark, that's a very rich stage to be at if you can really dig into that, not misunderstand what's going on. And maybe then you can find out and get more self-knowledge and self-understanding and then empathize with others going through it too and have more compassion and empathy for them as you grow up and not have to go through identity crisis for the next several decades.
Yes, exactly. Well, I'm hoping that we can both go through together. We're holding hands. I'm hoping to help him in some of the wisdom that I have, but we're both holding hands going through our transition.
That's beautiful. That's the only way. It's, you know,
exactly.
On the job training, there's no class for parenting, as we know.
Exactly.
It's hard to do it alone. It's good to communicate with other people in a similar situation now and then.
I think that that's true. I mean, it really, it's like in some ways it feels so cruel because we're both going through our own hormonal rages. But at the same time, it's kind of beautiful because I totally get what he's going through, you know?
Yeah, that's the good part. If we can remember how we were at that age, it's like, wow.
Yeah.
It's, you know, hard to imagine.
All right.
It's like probably he's doing better than you were. I don't know, you know.
Yeah, thanks for adding that in.
You know. Well, sometimes not, but whatever.
No, he probably
is. As my mother used to say, as long as you're still at night, alive at midnight, I did my job.
Exactly. just have limited expectations. I'm just here to keep you alive. That's it. That's my point.
My mother has three kids, so I don't know if you, maybe you only have one, so, you know, you're evenly matched, one against one.
I have two, but they keep me busy. So, in our thank you so much. Our next segment, we're going to be talking about an issue, something that you actually, I could have sworn I saw it in your newsletter. Went to look for it later, and I couldn't. But it was about violence, and how we actually have a peaceful, less suffering situation. And when we think about the Newton shootings, I know it's not a pleasant thing, but I think it's an important topic, and one that I see. I've seen several articles that you've written about. So, join us.
Let's talk about that. My point was, we don't just need gun control; we need self-control.
Yeah, we're going to talk about that after the break. We'll be right back.
CBS Radio's The Sky.
The Sky.
Now back to Fire It Up with CJ. Be a force for good. And fire it up with CJ. Log on, fireitupwithcj.com. And call CJ now.
248-545-7685.
On CBS Radio's The Sky. Sky.
Welcome back to our final segment of Fire It Up with CJ. Her guest this half hour was the award-winning author of Buddha Standard Time. It is Lama Surya Das, and we were talking to him before the break. And before we go back to them, I want to go back really quick. I just want to tell everyone, please go to CJ's Facebook page. It's Fire It Up with CJ. Or you can go to her website if you want to get some more information about her coaching and, you know, what she's all about. You can go to her website, which is fireitupwithcj.com. And CJ, I want to go right back to you so you guys can continue with your conversation.
Thank you, Cassandra. So we're going to be talking about not a pleasant subject, but I think one that's really important. Now, were the cynics right? Have we already forgotten about the Newton shootings? I haven't. It still weighs heavily on my mind. In fact, I was up last night contemplating this with my conversation with Lama Surya Das. So I have the first question I have for you, Lama Surya Das, is how does one make peace with such a horrific event?
I could get pretty fired up about this, CJ, and maybe your show is the place to do it.
Absolutely. Let's get fired up, man.
We have to stop the violence, especially against children and the most helpless members of our society. This is not negotiable. But how? I mean, everybody can agree on that, more or less, but how? And you can see how partisan politics and other agendas come into the discussion. So if we're going to make peace with this or with anything, I think we have to do a little work on ourselves. That's why I've said in my articles and essays and my blogs and on Huffington Post that it's not just gun control that we need, it's self-control. And we need to look into getting better at training ourselves and educating ourselves and the children and all of us in emotional intelligence, mindful anger management, impulse control, reactivity control, and so on. And not just become control freaks, but be able to be more aware in the moment instead of just blindly reacting to stimuli, having some mental space through mindful awareness to breathe and think and feel and intuit before we respond, not just blindly reacting. This is the secret of mindful emotional management. And there's nothing wrong with anger, but it's when it devolves into violence and aggression and worse that we have real problems. So there's a lot of mental illness out there, and a lot of these criminals and these mass murderers and psychopathic killers and massacres are the result of mental illness, and that's very difficult to address at a societal level. And big thinkers and institutions need to really be working on this. But I'm advocating that each of us has a role to play today in developing more emotional intelligence and mindful anger management and rooting out the seeds of hatred and fear in our own hearts. And this is an ancient spiritual message, Buddhist message, and other message. And if I don't have the seeds of anger and hatred in my heart, nobody can make me angry or hate them. I could feel compassion for them when they harm me and spontaneously turn the other cheek, as we're instructed to do. So I feel very strongly about this. Now, of course, gun control is needed, and I don't know that anybody needs an automatic weapon with cop-killing bullet clips and so on. The founding fathers never foresaw this when they said people had the right to have a gun at home. They were thinking muskets. Let's give everyone a musket. That would be fine.
Mm-hmm.
But furthermore, we need to go a little deeper into the problem. So self-control. We have so much domestic violence in this country.
Mm.
So I live in New England. Newtown, Connecticut is a little too close for comfort. But also, my 19-year-old friend Allison Krauss was shot and killed on her own campus, Kent State University, in 1970, protesting the war and the secret bombings of Cambodia and Vietnam. So I'm no stranger to this violence. In fact, my wife's second cousin-in-law in Kentucky, age 16, shot and killed both of his parents in their living room with the family hunting rifle. He shot them from the doorway of his bedroom while they were sitting on the couch watching TV in the living room.
Mm. Well, how did you make peace with this?
In Kentucky for that. So I've been thinking a lot about this over the years and thinking we really have to bring a little more higher education back into education, which has so much become like vocational training, and also model it at home. We have so much domestic abuse and other forms of violence, and we have to do something about this. And I think education and conscience raising is one of the first places to look. Of course, legislation, gun control, and other issues definitely will also be coming along. That's not my specialty. But I think we have to act wherever we can. Think globally, but act locally, beginning with ourselves and each other. Emotional intelligence, impulse control, reactivity management, mindful anger management, and so on. Very, very helpful and effective.
Mm. So, and help, because I don't know if people can make the leap, but the belief I think that you're going for is that, hey, if we actually, you know, do what you can, and what you can do is educate your children, be conscious yourself, have self-control with your anger, your activity, your reactivity to things, you know, build your emotional intelligence so that
develop
your children
emotional, cultivate it, develop self-control. Don't just say, I don't have it, I'm an angry person.
Yeah.
Learn to develop it, like any other skill.
But so if we develop that, we raise children that are educated through all the various means, through their parents, through educational systems, how does that then lead to a less violent, I mean, so is that the idea? So if that's what we can do, so have some more.
Peace has to begin within and at home. Wars don't start, you know, because of outer things. Wars come from fear and hatred and greed and the us and them, small-mindedness, you know, jingoism and xenophobia and so on, us and them. And we really have to take responsibility for this and own it. We live in very violent times. The 20th century was a century of bloodshed with all the wars and the nuclear weapons and the vast amounts of deaths. Perpetrated on all continents. I mean, we got off easy in the United States, by the way. The Dalai Lama has called for the 21st century to be a century of dialogue, and I think these things are very important in the long run. We have to be on the long run here, not just on today and tomorrow, which is important also, but on the long run, the next generations. What about nuclear proliferation and the dangers there? I mean, we really need to think about this. What about the military spending budget while social services are going down the tube in this country? We really need to think about this, why we're doing these things, and what's the benefit, and what our children, you know, the bill, the debt our children are going to have to inherit from us for this kind of lifestyle. I'm very concerned about this. So particularly, like I'm going to reiterate, we can cultivate and develop mindful anger management, mindful emotional management, not control freakism. There's more than enough of that in the world. Not suppressing the emotions, but feeling them and learning how to process them better. So we have better impulse control and reactivity control. And this is very trainable. We have the tools and techniques for those that want to use them. We all know the attention and attention deficit disorders that children are being diagnosed with today. Why don't we have more attention span training in schools and more concentration relaxation training and breathing and chanting and martial arts and non-competitive sport training and things like that, so we can channel the energy positively, not just competitively and selfishly. I'm originally a 3 or 4 sport jock from Long Island. I compete as much as anyone, and I love to. But I also started to learn how to compete against myself and trying to get better and master something fully. That's where the spotlight, the searchlight turns inward, and one becomes a real mensch, a real person. Proactive, right. Not just reactive.
We have to have like a whole nother episode on this particular because our segment is now ending. Boo-hoo. Thank you so much for being here. We do have to have another. This is a huge topic of which you've
It's a huge and interesting topic of our time. Thank you for having me.
I'd love to have you back to talk more about this.
My pleasure.
Thank you so much for your wisdom.
And I know where you are. I've got my eye on you, DJ. Blessings to one and all in Seattle.
All right. Thank you so much, Lama Suryadas. Thank you so much.
And to all our listeners, God bless. Buddha bless.
Thank you. And next week, folks, we have Sue Frederick, who is going to be talking about finding your soulmate. So have a great weekend, and thank you and blessings to everyone.